able to seal him. Here's the pass. Oh, what a catch! Leaping into the air and pulling it down is T. Higgins.
Burrow, facing pressure, goes over the top, wide open is Chase, and he splits the defenders for the touchdown.
Hooday, Bengal fans. He is Mon. I am Jake. This is the Bengals Pulse, the heartbeat of our Cincinnati Bengals. And Mon, we were off air, and your wife, Heather, came in with a beautiful rendition of Too Legit to Quit, Too Legit, Too Legit to Quit. And now I cannot get that song out of my head, Mon. So thank you, Heather, for now. The song is just repeating over and over in my mind, although she sings like an angel. So it's hard not to listen to the sounds of Too Legit to Quit from your wife, Heather. Mon, how you doing this week, buddy?
Tried to mute that. No, you just made her day. You just made her day. It's good. It's been a good week. Just really following free agency and all the Bengal takes. I've been spending a lot of time in spaces and on Twitter trying to get input from other fans, their takes, and get more nuggets on our Cincinnati Bengals.
I hear you. Well, that's what this show is going to be revolved around tonight, Mon, is we're going to wrap up this free agency talk. And next week, our buddy Justin will be joining us again for Mock 3.0. And we're going to talk about it tonight, Mon, what this new Bengals roster looks like with these new free agents and how it could affect our draft, the Bengals draft and our mock draft, I guess, coming up here very soon. First of all, though, Hooday to everyone that has joined us tonight. Thank you guys once again for jumping on and giving Mon and I a listen or a watch. We really appreciate it. Mon, big news since we've been on the show. We got a new right tackle, and he is a dude, Mon. He is, in all honesty, the guy that I had targeted for this Bengals team. He is the one guy that I really wanted to see in stripes. Trent Brown joins the Bengals on a one-year deal. We have not got the exact amount of what that contract looks like. I'm sure there's going to be quite a few incentives. Trent Brown, right around 31 years old, a mountain of a man, Mon, 6'8", 370. So now you have left tackle, 6'8", 345 in OBJ. And right tackle now, Trent Brown coming in at 6'8", 370. Good Lord. We got the Twin Towers there on either side of Joe Burrow. Talk a little bit, Mon, about Trent Brown and the addition and what he is going to bring to this Bengals offensive line.
Yeah, I'm glad they got him. We needed him. I think I'm probably in the minority here, our friends on Twitter. I think it's an upgrade over Jonah Williams. If you go by Pro Football Focus, some people do, some people don't. Pro Football Focus had him rated higher. Yes, he's had uneven career, I guess you could say. He had some issues, got in the doghouse in New England. But he's such a large man. I know he's not the most athletic person, but he's an upgrade. He's going to help this team. I wish it was a two-year contract. It's 1 year.
I do, too.
1 year. So, I mean, we'll see. I don't really think it alters our draft plans that much. I know people say it could open up the draft. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But having him and Orlando Brown, started to play a little better last year towards the end of the year. I mentioned something earlier today. Right tackle was such a big hole, Jake. But you know what? Honestly, it was a hole. I get it. Trent Brown is there, but it was bigger than right tackle. Everybody on that offensive line has to play better. They're all veterans. they all have to play better than they did last year, and I think they will.
Yeah, and I, listen, Ma, I'm gonna take this thing a step further. I'm gonna agree with Jeff. Jeff, you're 100% right. Trent Brown is not just better than Jonah Williams; he is way better than Jonah Williams. I mean, you're talking about a guy, Mon, who is just a nasty, nasty human being, right? I mean, you watch the film on this guy; he shuts down the entire side of an offensive line. He is dominating. Just like you said, just a towering man. I saw a stat where Jonah had given up, I think, 9 sacks or something like that in 1,600 passing snaps. Trent Brown gave up 8 in almost 4,000. I mean, you're talking about a huge upgrade. You guys have seen the film, Trent Brown against Myles Garrett, Trent Brown against Watt, Trent Brown against all of these stud pass rushers that we have to see every year. And Mon, for the most part, they don't even sniff the quarterback against this man. Not only that, Mon, have you seen him run blocking? I mean, he is a devastator. If he gets his hands on you, it is over. It is a done deal. Very exciting to see what he's going to bring to the table for this Bengals offensive line. And now, Mon, 4 out of the 5 starters on the offensive line, all with Super Bowl rings. Don't tell me that doesn't mean something to this Bengals front office.
He's got to stay healthy. That's been the problem. He's been in the shop a lot. He's in the garage getting repairs. When he's playing, he plays well. Got to get him healthy. That's why I think our draft plans aren't going to change, because we need a swing tackle. I know there were rumors circulating that Becton did get an offer. Maybe he could be a swing tackle. I don't see that happening.
I don't know if he'd do that.
We need to have another person in there. Could be that high draft pick that's going to be the swing tackle, because the only knock on Brown is he has been hurt. But when he plays really well.
Yeah, and again, this is a one-year deal, but you could definitely see if the Bengals go out and draft a guy in the first couple rounds and it takes a little bit more time to develop that player, you could definitely see the Bengals bringing Trent Brown on for another year. I really do think this could end up being longer than a one-year deal, but you know, we will see if that's the case. But again, Trent Brown joining this offensive line, I think the one thing that we've been worried about, Mon, is this right tackle position. And this does, I think, open up the draft a little bit for the Cincinnati Bengals. You and I are going to talk about that in a little bit. I don't disagree with you. I think they do need to go out and try to find a swing tackle. And I can't imagine Mekhi Becton joining the Bengals to be a swing tackle. I'm guessing there's other teams that are interested in him, or he probably already have been a Bengal. I do think it – I would like to have known, though, if they did sign Becton on his visit, if they still would have gone after Trent Brown, because I want Trent Brown. I wanted Trent Brown over Becton. But the Trent Brown situation, too, very interesting, Mon, right? He gets a call on Sunday, gets a visit, and on Tuesday morning he's a Bengal. I mean, you talk about a quick turnaround from – Sunday to Tuesday, and he's a Cincinnati Bengal. Crazy how that all worked out, right?
Yeah, it makes me think that Becton wasn't offered. Things didn't go well there, or the contract.
I agree. Yeah, I think so.
Trent Brown, for them to contact him on Sunday, obviously they had a list of players they were interested in. You know, it materialized quickly, and I'm glad it did. I think, you know, he's going to be an impact free agent signing. He's going to come in and start. You throw in the Von Bell situation. You throw in Geno Stone. Those are guys who are going to make a huge, huge impact. And it makes the Bengals a better team. Hopefully they're not done. I don't expect any big money signings coming up, but we still have things that we could shore up in free agency. And I hope they get that done soon. Cornerback and another defensive lineman. I think the nose tackle is going to have to come from the draft or a potential trade.
Well, let's talk about the other big man that the Bengals have added to this roster, and that's Sheldon Rankins. He has his press conference. Again, a lot of Bengal fans wondering the question, why have we not seen Sheldon sign the papers? And then Monday morning it happens. Sheldon Rankins signs his contract, does his presser. Mon, this guy, I mean, does he not just fit in with this Bengals team? I mean, you just absolutely love the way this guy carries himself. He's very confident, but at the same time, everything is centered around how to make his teammates better, which you have to love. Also, you have to love the fact that he says he sits down with Zach, and the first thing he says isn't even hi. It's, why the F didn't you slide to me? I should have had 6 sacks instead of 3. You just got to love that confidence in a guy like Sheldon Rankins, because we're going to need it, right? I mean, we are counting on this guy to bring something that we haven't had since Larry Ogunjobi.
Yeah, I like that. He has a little edge to him. He has an attitude. I think this defense needs an attitude. They need an intimidator. I mentioned this the other day on Twitter. I don't think the Bengals need a dirty player. Of course, I don't want that. I don't want stupid penalties. But I want a player that has a chip on his shoulder, that really isn't afraid to talk. I think Trey Hendrickson is that guy also. But somebody sort of like Vontaze Burfict, maybe not as intense. But I think Rankin sort of reminded me of that, especially at his press conference. I would love to have that energy on defense. And you're right. You know, we haven't had a guy like that since Larry O. That defensive line really hasn't been the same since he left. It's amazing. Yeah. I mean, you think about that. He was that impactful.
It is amazing. I mean, and when you think about the fact, too, that we didn't have him for the Super Bowl. I mean, again, you know, he was a very impactful player that season, and what he brought to the table was huge until he got hurt. Real quick, before we talk about other guys out there, because PFF, again, you know, you can kind of go by these grades, or, you know, they are what they are. PFF gave the Bengals a B+ in free agency. That was before Trent Brown signing. So I'm assuming that's going to bump up to an A. Again, what meaning that has, I don't really know. But I'm gonna talk about real quick what I feel, and then I'm going to ask you the same, Mom. As I look at the additions in free agency and who we lost, right? We lose Cheeto on the back end of the defense. We lose Joe Mixon. We lose Irv Smith. We lose Jonah Williams. We lose Nick Scott. We lose DJ Reader. And we lose Stanley Morgan Jr. And as I look at what the Bengals have done, again, I know people have been kind of on the line of, well, this was a great offseason so far. This was not so good, free agency, yada, yada, yada. Again, for me, this has been a home run. And I told you this off air, Mon. I think this could end up being one of the best offseasons the Bengals have ever had when it comes to free agency. First of all, the safety position, not only was it an upgrade, but adding Geno Stone and Von Bell could change the entire look and the efficiency of how this defense is run. That is, I don't even think we need to talk about what kind of upgrade that is. That is huge, going from Nick Scott, Dax Hill, to those two guys and Von Bell and Geno Stone. You look at the running back position again. We'll see. Dan Pitcher had a lot of nice things to say about Zach Moss and the way they feel about him. And again, you know, you and I didn't talk about this last episode, but Zach Moss, his pass block rating is very impressive. The guy is a very good pass blocker, which Joe Mixon, again, I'm not knocking Joe, but that might be another reason why the Bengals made this transition from Joe to Zach. And again, I'm not agreeing either way. It's yet to be seen what we are going to get from Zach Moss. Tight end position, Mon. Mike Gesicki is one of the best tight ends that this team has had since Tyler Eifert. I think you could easily say that as an upgrade. It's not even close. At right tackle, going from Jonah Williams to Trent Brown, again, night and day, huge upgrade for this Bengals team. Sheldon Rankins, DJ Reader, I don't know. I mean, that's yet to be seen. Again, I think the Reader Rankins and the Moss Mixon, I think those two are kind of up in the air. We'll see. But everywhere else that the Bengals targeted in free agency, they hit home run after home run, Mon. And I want to get your thoughts on the exact same thing. What do you think?
I think the best moves were the safeties. We watched every Bengal game last year and frustrated the issues with the explosive plays and the, you know, just wide open receivers, nobody within 10, 15 yards of them. It was so frustrating. It wasn't the Bengal defenses we got used to with Lou Anarumo. But one big pressing need we saw was the horrible tackling. The tackling on defense was absolutely terrible. Von Bell coming back is going to help out tremendously there. He's going to help people get lined up. I think it's huge. He's also going to help Jordan Battle. He's going to help Dax Hill. A lot of people throwing a lot of shade at Dax Hill on Twitter. Guys, man, it's his first year starting. His stats were very comparable to Jesse Bates. Jesse Bates had an uneven career. Let's not give up on Dax Hill. Dax Hill is going to be a fine football player.
Yeah.
Geno Stone and Von Bell are going to make that whole unit better. Rankins is Larry Ogunjobi. He's not DJ Reader. We just talked about that. I can't sugarcoat it. DJ Reader, a replacement that's close to him, is needed. It's needed. No ifs, ands, or buts there. We got to find another defensive lineman that sort of fits that mold a little bit, another body there that's good. Tight end, absolutely. Gasecki's great. Something the Bengals normally don't, they don't have tight ends like that. They really want their tight ends to be multi, you know, blockers and occasionally give them a catch here and there. Gasecki is a wide receiver, basically a big, big wide receiver. We talked about the tackle, Trent Brown, great acquisition. We do need a cornerback. You mentioned Cheeto. We lost him. Cheeto was coming off that ACL injury. We talked about that before the ACL injury. He's one of the best cornerbacks in football. He's 1 year removed from surgery. I expect him to have a big year with the Titans. We need another vet. I would welcome back Eli Apple. Everybody thinks I'm crazy. He played well for the Bengals. I know he chirped a lot. That turned off some people, but he was not a bad player for them. And who am I missing? Who else did we sign? Gasecki.
You say Gasecki. We talked about
Zach Moss. Zach Moss, listen, I'm rooting for him. Listen, Joe Mixon doesn't play for the Bengals anymore. Everybody knows where I'm at. I wish he still did. I don't want to talk about that anymore. It's exhausting. And, you know, people still trying to take victory laps. His contract's horrible with the Texans. Hey, man, let the guy go and play for the Texans and have a good career there. Let's talk about Zach Moss. I'm excited. He's fast. He's not as big, but apparently the Bengals want to open up their offense, maybe a more dynamic, faster back. That's fine. But I tell you what I want. I want a running back that controls the ball and doesn't fumble the ball. We all know Chase Brown. Chase Brown was a workhorse at Illinois, but he did have some fumble issues. Maybe it was because he was overworked. I don't know much about Zach Moss and ball security. Hopefully that's not an issue, but I'm rooting for Zach Moss. I want him to have an excellent year. If he does, that means the Bengals are winning.
I agree. Well, let's go back to Cheeto, because I think that's the one position right now the Bengals have not attacked in free agency, and we're going to talk about that, Mon. Let's get into the cornerback position and maybe some targets out there that the Bengals would be looking at. Right now, Mon, the slated starters here. I don't know if these are the stars or not, but you would think it looks something like this. Cam Taylor-Britt, DJ Turner, Mike Hilton, and then possibly we have heard that Dax Hill might get moved to maybe a slot corner or even corner. So those four guys right there, I think right now would be slotted at either the boundary corner or maybe that slot corner. So DJ Turner, even Coach Lou talked about it a little bit, you know, that he didn't hit the rookie wall. The rookie wall hit him. We've all heard that now the last couple of weeks. The Bengals do need to go out and get a corner, right? They need to go get a vet that can replace Chido Awuzie, even if it's a guy that can give, you know, I don't know, 30, 40 snaps a game and let some of these young guys, you know, rotate in. DJ Turner, where he's not got all that pressure of having to go out and be, you know, the top boundary corner for this team. So I'm going to throw some names out there, Mon. I want you to tell me what you think about possible additions this Bengals team could make at the corner position. So you have Stephon Gilmore, right? He is 30. He's going to be turning 34 years old during the regular season. So he's a little bit, I'm not going to use the word old in front of you, Mon, but he's been around for a little bit. Then you have some safeties, some high-end safeties. Then you have Xavien Howard, the corner from the Dolphins, who, again, was very highly touted these last couple years as being one of the top corners in the NFL. But no signing yet. He did allow Mon a 63% completion percentage when he was targeted, which is quite a bit, something you might not think would be the case. Then you have Tre'Davious White from the Buffalo Bills, a two-time Pro Bowler. Again, he is up there. He's 29 years old. And then you have Adoree Jackson, who played for the Giants, started 36 games for the Giants. Again, not really a ball hawking type of guy, but he does make plays on the ball. He logged 23 pass defense, which is pretty good. Then you have Steven Nelson from the Texans and Christian Fulton from the Titans. Again, you know, those are really just some guys out there, veteran guys. Nelson being 31 years old. What do you think, Mon? Are these some guys that the Bengals could possibly target here in the next week or two before the draft?
Absolutely. I think they probably already contacted many of them. Fulton from the Titans was an LSU player, second-round pick. I would not be surprised if he signed with the Bengals. He's had an up-and-down career. Lou Anarumo is a defensive back coach originally. Burke is another great DB coach that they have. They could hopefully maybe recharge their career. Howard, though, remember, started his career with Lou at Miami. He did have a rough year last year. He hurt his foot. He was playing on a bum foot, and then I think that's one of the reasons they let him go. There's like Akili Witherspoon that played for the Rams, used to be a Steeler. The Bengals almost signed him a few years ago. I could see him potentially coming in. I know he's not a big name. Who else did you mention? Gilmore is up there in age. He would be another great veteran presence to come in. Somebody tweeted this today, and I forgot, and I'm sorry if I don't give you the credit. The cornerback that they're going to sign, you know, cornerback 4 plays a lot of snaps. It's not like he's going to be on the bench. They have got to get another guy because he'll play, you know, 400 or 500 snaps a year. And so they need to get somebody that has some experience. Of course, the draft where they pick at 18, I'm telling you right now, I'm offensive line, defensive line all the way in this draft, but there's going to be names there. You know, we're going to talk about that tight end from Georgia. There's going to be cornerbacks there from Alabama. There's going to be Quinion Mitchell, I think from Toledo. These guys are elite players, very highly thought of. If they're at 18, I would not be shocked if the Bengals pick the cornerback.
You talked about Tristan Fulton. This year, struggle is an understatement. He gave up almost 80% completion percentage until he got knocked out of the season with a hamstring injury. But you are right. There are ties. And again, is this another Joe Burrow effect, right, where we see the Bengals going out and getting a guy maybe that Joe thinks very highly of? What about Tre'Davious White, Mon?
I think he's coming off an Achilles issue. Jake, he's had horrible health issues the last couple of years, a knee, Achilles. That's a hard pass for me, hard pass. He's another LSU guy, but he's had some pretty significant injuries. You know, Nelson used to play for the Colts, I believe. I think he spent a year with the Steelers, and he had some really negative things to say about Joe Burrow after a game. You know what? Don't get me wrong here. I'm not trying to be like that could be a factor, but He said some pretty crappy things about him. I don't think Joe would mind if they signed him. He's a good player. He played well for the Texans last year. Yeah, and Matthew Geiger, Greg, good point. Rocky Sin, forgot all about him, played for the Ravens last year. And, hey, at least these guys have had some starts and quality snaps in the NFL. They got to get a vet corner. They really got to. And I think they will. I think that's going to be our next signing.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. I could definitely see that happening. You think there might be another defensive tackle signing. Tell me some names that you think the Bengals maybe go after. Now, one name I want to throw out there, and again, it's a guy who has been a nemesis for the Bengals, but he is definitely up there in age. What do you think about Calais Campbell being a Bengal? Think that might be a possibility?
I doubt it. I think the age is going to turn off the Bengals. He's 38. I just don't see that happening. It's pretty dry. Pierre Tart, obviously. I don't know if it's a contractual thing, but
yeah, talk about that for a minute, Mom. What do you think happened with Pierre Tart? It sounded like it was a go, and then he went out to dinner with Joe Burrow, and now we don't hear anything else about it. What do you think?
My opinion is based only on the podcast that I listen to from reputable reporters that cover the Bengals. You know, they insinuate that he wasn't a fit for the team. So maybe the interview didn't go well, or just the coaching staff just didn't feel comfortable around him. And, with him being on the team, not around him. So I think that ship has sailed. It's not going to be Tart. Don't be surprised if, they have 10 draft picks, Jake. I mean, maybe they could offer a fifth, sixth, or seventh for somebody's defensive tackle or defensive lineman. They could potentially look at trades. Paul Daner and some other people mentioned, just hypothetically, Dax Hill is a trade chip. Man, I think that's really jumping the gun. I don't agree with that. You got to give Dax Hill another year. I mean, Dax Hill could really turn out to be a great. He's going to be Mike Hilton's replacement. He really is. And I think he's going to be good.
Well, let's transition here, Mon, and talk about how does this affect the roster when it comes to the draft, right? Because you talked a little bit about it earlier with the signing of Trent Brown. What is this draft now? Where do you think the Bengals kind of turn their target to? You talked about corner. You talked about D tackle. You talked about offensive tackle. You talked about tight end. Again, the Bengals have hit on a lot of these needs in free agency. Does this open up the draft? Let's say a Brock Bowers falls to 18 somehow. Or, again, I'm just throwing this out. I know our Bengals don't like to do it, but do the Bengals move up and take a guy like that, or maybe one of the top tackles that is sitting at 13, let's say? We did see the Bengals have ammunition. They have an extra third, they have an extra sixth, and they have an extra seventh. Remember, they used one of their extra six before to move up to get Cam Taylor-Britt, right? Moved up a couple spots. Do the Bengals move up? Do they sit at 18? And what now do these targets look like, Mom?
Eric kills me, just that private chat. Bowers is too legit to quit.
I agree.
I just I'm not on the Bowers train. Guys, listen, I think the best thing to do is go BPA, best player available. I think every team should do that, especially the team I root for, the Bengals. But there's a problem here. We have a significant issue, and I'm going to explain it to you. Jake, four of our five starting offensive linemen, four of our five starting offensive linemen are free agent acquisitions. One was drafted by the Bengals. Two of those starters, their contracts are up at the end of the year. We can't go to free agency and keep on signing their replacements. They get expensive. Of course, we can sign a bum, in a year, some guy really cheap to come in and play a spot. I don't want just guys protecting Joe Burrow. We have to start drafting and developing talented players. 18 to me in this historically great draft for tackles, they have to draft an offensive lineman, or I shouldn't say have to, but I think they should, and I think they will. Now, concerning the trade, I could see that. It's not going to be for Bowers. It might be for one of those tackles, like you mentioned. Jake, you said this 100 times on our episodes. The Bengals have the best skilled players in football, top three in the NFL. It hasn't gotten us a championship. We're always going to have good skilled players. We need to reinforce the trenches. We need to protect Joe. We need to control the line of scrimmage on the offense and defensive side. We saw it last year. We were absolutely pummeled way too much. We got to take care of it in the draft.
Well, and again, I think a couple of things. Number one, you know how I feel about – I'm so disheartened when the Bengals draft offensive linemen in the first round. It's not because I don't want us to be better at the trenches. It's because the Bengals are not good at developing these offensive linemen. And I think we can both agree on this. The not just the Bengals, but it is hard to really hit. There's a lot of good offensive line guys that have gone in the first round over the years that just don't pan out. I think offensive line is one of the hardest positions to really figure out when it comes to the draft. And I know a lot of people are like, well, Jake, that's not a good way to think because you still got to go. I agree with you. But I also know that when I look at this Bengals offensive line, like you just said, four out of the five offensive linemen are all free agents. And I'm a big believer in fixing the offensive line in free agency. I believe that's where you have to do it. I know you and I don't always agree on that, Mom, but that's how I see it. It's not that I don't want the Bengals to make a move and get one of these offensive tackles. I am just so beaten up over the years by the way these offensive linemen work out at the Bengals draft. I mean, I could sit here and speak for 10 minutes naming offensive linemen that have not hit. There are a lot more guys that haven't hit than compared to guys that have even been decent offensive linemen. Again, I know you don't agree with me, Mon. But what I want to ask you is this. Do you think the Bengals have that in the back of their mind, or do you think they not worry about that and they go target one of those offensive line guys?
Jake, we're all shell-shocked with the inability at drafting and developing offensive linemen. They have to try. They can't give up. It's not sustainable. You can't keep on signing free agents. You don't have enough money. You can't do it. $35 million is coming up for Ja'Marr Chase. You can go sign a replacement for Karras next year for $1 million. You can go sign a replacement for Kappa in 2 years for $2 million a year. You're going to get a bum. You're not going to get a good player. You can't. Now, you can go out and sign a $15 million center or guard in a couple years, but then guess what? You got other needs. You have to draft and develop. When you only have one drafted player as a starter on your offensive line, that's a problem. That's a horrible look.
But
if, for example, if you draft one in the first or second round, the chances of it being a success are a lot higher than a fifth, sixth, or seventh round center, guard, or tackle. We don't have the luxury for a shiny toy. We don't have it. And I just don't want to get in battles on Twitter. I mean, everybody's really into this Brock Bowers. He's a fine player. We don't have that luxury. We don't.
I don't know, Mon. I don't know if you and I are ever going to agree on this. I want to be very clear about this. I know the Bengals right now, if the Bengals had, let's say, this offensive line that they're going to this season with on paper, if they have this in 21, we're Super Bowl champs. We're Super Bowl champs. We are. Now, in saying that, I understand the importance of it. I just know that, man, you're sitting at 18 and one of those generational players is sitting there, possible generational players like a Brock Bowers. How do you not take them, Mon? I mean, the Bengals have four picks in the first 2 days, right? They have a lot of draft capital. And honestly, right now, I think the Bengals are going to move up. I really do. And I know I'm not, I know I, I'm, I'm, I know when I, even when I say it, I don't believe it. I just have a feeling that the Bengals have put themselves in a situation where if they're going to move up, this might be the year to do it. Let me ask you. You're talking about these tackles in this draft. If, let's say, I don't know, give me a couple guys. Mims, what's his name? Fatuna? What's his name? Fatuna?
Fuatanu.
Fuatanu. I mean, if those guys are sitting at 13, are you moving up to try to get one of them?
No, I'm not going to move up. The Bengals aren't going to give up a third or fourth to move up. They're not going to do that.
What about Latham?
That's a perfect pick. That's a good name that's brought up today. But real quick, Jake, I hear what you're saying, but don't forget we lost a second AFC championship game because our offensive line fell apart. We don't have proper depth. And our offensive line cost us a Super Bowl. We need better depth. We needed better starters. Listen, our starters now are average to okay. But, you know, we could get better there. I'm concerning some of the prospects. Mims, to me, scares me. He's a freak. He's huge. He's just like the guys we have now tackle-wise. He's only played eight games. He's only started eight games. He's been in the shop a lot. He's been hurt a lot. I don't like that. Now, Fuaga, that's the guy I like, and Fuatanu, I love those guys. I really do. Very big, athletic. Fuatanu's from Washington. He could play guard. He could play tackle. Big guy. He really, Daniel Jeremiah loved him at the combine. A name, this will drive Bengal Twitter crazy, but if they draft the center from Oregon, that would be a great pick. He's our center for 10 years. He'd be like Linderbaum. He'd be like the guy in Detroit that we wanted. He would be our center for 10 years. He would make the offensive line better. Mims scares me. Now, Latham had the pro day today. Here's where Bengal Twitter gives me a headache. It's just unbelievable. He's not testing because he's not running and everybody's worried about the relative athletic score. Oh, he's not an athlete. We don't have athletes on the offensive line. The day earlier, the same people complaining about Latham today were praising Trent Brown. Trent Brown had a horrible athletic score. So, I mean, people are just talking themselves in the circles over it. I think Latham is going to be a good player. 6'6", 340, 345. I would not be surprised if that's the Bengals' number one choice right now at tackle. I really would not be surprised because he fits the mold of what they want. He's just as big as Brown and Brown. So I really think it's going to be a tackle. And Jake, if there's a big run where they're starting to fall, I might think the Bengals might trade a third or a fourth to potentially move up to get one of them.
Let me ask you this, because our buddy Eric talking about this too. Have they done enough in free agency, Mon, to move back? Meaning, let's say somebody wants to move up to 18, the Bengals move back a couple spots and pick up a third or an extra fourth. Is that something you think the Bengals might want to do, or do they stay in pat at 18? Or, again, try to trade up and move up to maybe that 12, 13 spot. What do you think? Do you see them trading back?
If they have five or six players rated the same and they're all there at 18 and they feel like they could get one of those, yeah, they could potentially move back. But you got to remember, we have 10 picks. This roster is pretty good, even though there are significant needs. We've talked about that over the last few weeks. 10 picks. These guys they're not all going to make the team. All right, and accumulating picks, I mean, I don't know. I mean, if somebody gives you a sweet offer, maybe get a pick next year also, by all means, consider it. But I think they're going to stand pat unless there's a big rush on one of these key positions they need, and they could potentially move up and try to get one of those tackles. And like I said earlier, I would not be surprised if they picked a cornerback at 18.
I would be shocked if they did, although we know our Bengals love corners in the first round. But I do think this is the one thing that has possibly changed. The last mock we did a couple weeks ago, I was big on grabbing as many defensive tackles as I could. Now, I don't think that's the case. And I'll be honest with you, I don't think the Bengals are going to target one of those tackles at 18, I think if Brock Bowers is not there, I think it's offensive tackle. I don't see the Bengals right now targeting a defensive tackle at 18. What are your thoughts about that, Mon? Because we did pick two defensive tackles in the first two picks 2 weeks ago, and we caught a lot of hell for it. Obviously, now with Sheldon Rankins coming in, and I just don't see that being a target. Not that the Bengals still don't need to target one sometime during the draft, but I don't think in the first round. I think it's going to be either an offensive tackle, or if a guy like Bowers or one of those shiny toys, Mon, that you don't want any part of, even maybe one of those receivers. Mon, what if one of those receivers drops to 18? I mean, let's be realistic right now, Mon. Let's be realistic. The first four picks in this draft are going to be quarterbacks, right? The Bears just trade away Justin Fields. You know they're taking Caleb Williams with one. It's going to go quarterback, 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 right? And more of those quarterbacks that are taking, Mon, more of those shiny toys start dropping down to 18. Don't be surprised if there's one of those receivers drops 18 and the Bengals snatch them up.
I wouldn't be surprised. We know how the Bengals love. They love their wide receivers. I just don't think that's going to happen. I think the Bengals are going to go tackle. I said that. The Bengals had a big contingent today at the University of Texas Pro Day. I think just about every position coach was there. So I wouldn't be surprised if the guy you mocked 2 weeks ago, if he's there, if they don't pick Murphy. He's a great player. Those dudes are a problem in the league. Somebody just retired the other day. I'm not saying he's Aaron Donald, but you see how productive those guys are. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting.
You know what other position?
Zim's on board. Zim is on team, yeah. Bowers. There he is.
Listen. Zim's a smart man. Let me tell you, Mon, you know what else is a problem in this league? When you have tight ends that are mismatches in the middle of the field from hash to hash. Those are the guys that create serious problems, Mon, in this league. And I'm telling you right now, if Brock Bowers falls to 18, the Bengals are going to run to the podium, Mon. They are going to run to the podium because he's different, Mon. You know who else they really like is they were at the Colorado State Pro Day to see that tight end from Colorado State. They really like that guy, too. I can't think of his name right now. But the guy that was making the one-handed catches in the combine, they really like him, too, Mon. I'm telling you, don't be surprised. Do not be surprised, Mon.
They're going to pick a tight end. They're not going to pick a tight end at 18. You and Zim, I got to take a blood pressure pill. I'm not Team Bowers. I'm not. I think we're going to have another Civil War.
Yes. Thank you, Dustin. Yeah, Dustin, thank you.
We're going to have another Civil War. Team Bowers or team offensive tackle?
Listen. I'm not saying that we do not need a swing tackle. We do. But you said it yourself. This draft is loaded with tackles, and there could be a run. But if Brock Bowers, if those quarterbacks keep going, and Brock keeps a falling, don't be surprised. I honestly, Mon, would not be surprised, and this is crazy just me saying this. I wouldn't be surprised if the Bengals move up to get him. I really would not be surprised. You would be pissed. I would not be surprised.
Everybody is teaming up. Let's gang up on Mon. Eric wants Bowers. You want Bowers. Everybody. I'm staying.
Because,
right,
Mon, Listen.
Somebody agrees with me. Jennifer agrees with me. She's very smart.
Jennifer, you're just trying to be nice. That was a pity. Jennifer's giving you a pity vote. That's because, Mon, listen, I think this Bengals team, as Bengal fans, we have sat around and we watched these tight ends torch us. Dalton Schultz, Travis Kelce, although that was just kind of a recent thing. The Bengals have done fairly good about shutting him down. The Rat Birds, what's his name? Mark, what's the tight end for the Ravens?
We got to talk about that too. The hip drop, Andrews.
Mark Andrews.
Yeah, we got to talk about the hip drop.
Yeah, we'll talk about that real quick. But let me finish.
Okay.
We have watched these tight ends beat the Dalton Schultz for the Texans last season, Mon, beat the Bengals. He is a reason. Well, Tyler Boyd, I can talk about now because he's not a Bengal. Tyler Boyd's drop, that cost the Bengals. But Dalton Schultz tore the Bengals up. Bengal fans have been watching these tight ends continuously tear us up game after game after game. So, Mon, you wonder why everybody wants Bowers, because the Bengals haven't had that since Tyler Eifert. And we got our heart broken with Tyler Eifert because he couldn't stay healthy.
All we do is have toys. We got fancy toys. We got
nice cars, Mon, with
upgraded leather, and we don't have a championship.
Mon, toys are nice. Toys are nice.
But you need the blue-collar hard workers. You need the firemen in the trenches to do the work. I had to do that. Listen, Bowers is a great talent. I agree with you. He is. I just don't think that's a luxury we just can't afford right now. That's just my opinion. Everything you're saying about him is true. He's going to be one hell of a player.
I mean, Mon, how devastating is that going to be if he ends up going to our division and just tears us up for the next 10 years? And I'm going to have to sit here on this show and talk about Brock Bowers, how the Bengals passed him up and never should have, because now we watch him tearing us up.
Jake, we could do that all the time. What if we get Boatanu that's a five-time All-Pro? What if we get Jackson Bowers Johnson that's one of the best centers in the NFL? We really could. We could do that all day.
Mon, I'm not saying I take Bowers in the first round.
Listen to him. Look at this.
I know. I see. Listen, take Bowers in the first round, and then you could take O-line, D-line the next three picks.
But Jake,
I will give you O-line, D-line for second, and both thirds take O-line, D-line. I agree. We got to stack up.
If you don't draft an offensive lineman in the first 40 picks, I think you're in trouble. There's some good prospects out there, don't get me wrong, but the really solid ones are going to be the first 40 picks. And when it comes to true nose tackles, there's really one guy, and that's Sweat. So, I don't know, man. There's a lot of needs. They've done a lot of good things. There's still some players they can pick up. It's going to be an interesting month because Bowers could be there. It's going to be a fun draft night at the house. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be awesome. We got to do another draft show too. That was a lot of fun going live during the draft. Listen, I want to say this one more thing, and then we'll talk about the hip drop, and then we'll get out of here. But really quick, I just want to talk about Bowers really quick. Just remember this. He also helps that receiver room, right? He helps that receiver room, Mon. I'm just saying, you lose a guy like Tyler Boyd in the slot. Now you add Brock Bowers, and now you fix that problem as well. So now you have Mike Gesicki and Brock Bowers at tight end. Mon. Who is – and you got Drew Sample. I mean, the Sample is back, baby.
We just talked about Brown. Brown's been in the shop a lot. We need another quality tackle.
I know.
We'll see how it shakes out. We'll see how it shakes out.
Hey, real quick, Chris, we really appreciate that, Chris. Thank you very much. Again, for everybody joining us tonight, we really appreciate you guys joining in. Thank you so much, Chris.
That's a good point by Chris. That's a good point. I'm glad he asked that question because last year, great. You loved the guy for Detroit. You wanted to draft him. What was his name? The tight end?
LaPorta.
There were so many great tight ends. The guy from Notre Dame that we didn't pick, he's from Cincinnati. You know, after that draft ended, the Bengals signed one undrafted free agent tight end. So it shows you. I think his point is, I mean, are the Bengals really in the tight ends? Think about that. I mean, they had multiple opportunities last year. I know the draft didn't fall they wanted it the way they wanted it to. But, you know, I don't know. Maybe they're trying to change with pitcher. But are we going to draft Brock Bowers for 40 catches? I don't know.
I don't think it would be 40 catches. I don't think it would be 40 catches. I think it would be more like 60 to 70 catches rather than 40 catches. Because again, he's so dynamic. Why? He's like a receiver. All right. Listen, we'll get to Brock next week when we do our mock draft. But real quick, there were 12 different changes that have been sent into the league office, one of those being the hip drop tackle. What do you think about that, Mom, real quick?
Yeah, I saw that today. I'm going to call that the Ian Rappaport rule because he made such a big stink about what Logan Wilson did. Logan Wilson tackled Mark Andrews. He doesn't want to hurt him. He doesn't want that to happen. Listen, you can't – how can you officiate that play? How can you? There's going to be a blowback. If they do implement that penalty, you know, they try to outlaw it, the players are going to do something else, and it's going to create another injury, a rash of injuries. The NFL Players Association, the union, is against it. They're against it. They don't want that banned because you can't officiate it. The players don't know what – how are the players going to tackle somebody? I mean, Jake, what are they going to do? I mean,
it's crazy. I don't know, Ma. Listen, you might as well just put flags on the guy. If it comes to that, everybody just wear flags. Let's just play flag football like the Pro Bowl because that is – you're right. There's no way to officiate that type of play. I mean, it's going to end up – it's going to be ending up where it is the referee's – decision on the play if he thinks it's a hip drop or not. I just think it's such a bang bang type of play. There's no way that you can be consistent calling that penalty. I just don't see it. And this is not like the situation where the Steelers cheap shotted Geo helmet to helmet to get that penalty changed. This is not like that. This is not using a part of your body as a weapon. This is just trying to make a tackle, right? And again, I understand, you know, you're dropping the weight. It's changing the leverage of the running back. And it does. I can see that. I can see where it causes issues. But what are you supposed to do if the back is in front of you and you're in chase down? What are you supposed to do?
So you know what's going to happen? Mark Andrews is a big dude. So you're going to have a defensive back jump on his shoulders. He's just going to carry him. He's going to run with him.
Yeah. You know,
a defensive back that weighs 180, 190 is going to jump on his back because he can't hit, and he's just going to ride. I don't know, man. It's it's frustrating. I read that. And
one of the other ones was they want to come back to challenging penalties. What do you think about that? What do you think about them going back to challenging penalties?
I would love that. I would love it. You know what? I've said this to you, and people think I'm crazy.
Listen, if we had that – sorry to interrupt, but if we had that in the Super Bowl, we would probably be Super Bowl champs because there's no way if that was challenged, they would call defensive holding on Logan Wilson. There is no way in hell that gets called.
I know this will never happen. I know it will never happen. Start every NFL game at 12 o'clock or 12:30. Okay, so what? A coach can challenge any play. If it makes the game last another 30 minutes, I don't care. Get it right. It's not Major League Baseball. Baseball has 162 games. The NFL has 17. A game that we're officiating really has a lot to do with the outcome. That could be catastrophic for a team. Could be home field advantage. Could be a playoff spot. There's not a lot of room to make up for these errors. Just we have the technology. They should be able to challenge a play. The number one goal is to get the play right. Have a super center in New York that says, hey, guys, the official screwed up. You got to rectify it. They should
that. Let's bring Eric on real quick. Eric, jump on and join us real quick, Eric. I want you to talk about what you were just saying in the chat with the XFL rules. I love what you were saying there. Talk about that for a minute.
Sure. Yeah, the XFL. Well, not the XFL anymore. Hopefully, they're going to bring this into play this year when they've merged. But they had basically a sky judge, and I think it was Dean Blandino. I'm not sure if that was the right name or not. But he was up there, and he had like 30 screens right in front of him, and they went to him, and he reviewed all of it, and he made the call right there. He saw it right on right in front of him, and it was boom, boom, boom. It didn't even take 30 seconds. If they basically looked at it for every penalty. So they could do it right. They have the technology. It's just, I think they like the politics of it. They like the drama. They like the people complaining about it.
The problem is this. The front office that has the most money, the most influence, are the ones that get the rules in their favor. All right. Everybody who's upset about Mark Andrews' injury, he's a fine football player, top three tight end. Nobody wants any star to get hurt. But on NFL Network today, all I saw was Logan Wilson highlights of what that tackle. What's Logan Wilson supposed to do?
Yeah.
And he's not a dirty player. He's never been labeled a dirty player.
Hasn't that play been in the league for since the league's been in existence? And that's the first time that we've ever really heard of it come out as it being a drama play.
Well, it's because it's the Bengals, you know. That's how it is.
I got such
Mark and our guy Mark. Mark, why would you bring up Pete Johnson getting stuffed? Now I'm going to be thinking about that for the rest of the night. First down and goal. Oh God, how did we not score in four plays against San Francisco 49ers? It's incredible, Mon. It is incredible.
I agree, Deep Heist. I agree, buddy. Yeah. The 5-yard chuck. You know, we used to chuck.
Yeah,
you know,
I like that.
And I don't know. Football in the 70s and 80s was a different breed. It was totally different. But I'm old and I have those memories. So.
Hey, the good thing is that you're having memories still. That's good.
I'll tell you something. Bengals Pulse.
You're getting close. You're getting
close. There's never been an F-bomb dropped on Bengals Pulse, but it's getting close. I got a headache. I'm so fired up about this Logan Wilson stuff. Okay, it's all good. It's all good.
Some other outtakes, though. We can go with those.
Yeah, right. Let's not do any more outtakes. Listen, hey, we're going to be back. We're going to be back next Monday. Right, guys? Next Monday. Monday night, we are going to have Justin on. We're going to do our mock 3.0, our new mock draft post free agency. Will be very interesting to see. Look at that, Mon.
I got something to leave Mon with.
Look at 19 in stripes, Mon. Oh, my goodness gracious. Please give me 19 in stripes. Let's just watch this guy. Wheel route. I mean,
He's playing Savannah State.
Look at that.
That's UCF. That was UCF, I think.
That's Chico State out of California, man.
No, that's USF. Ever do that again.
Look at this.
Look at this catch. Ooh. Ooh. Then Jamar teaches him the gritty. Look at this.
If we were picking 19, I would say it was meant to be, but.
I mean, he's got to be better than Brandon Tate, right? Wasn't Brandon Tate 19?
What were some of the small schools out west? Pacific, all those? Yeah.
I mean, Mon, look at this guy. Look at this. Oh, my goodness.
Come on. Man. That's a 110-pound defensive back.
Will not be denied, Mon. Will not be denied. How do you not love this guy?
Don't watch this play.
I
don't know why this is a highlight, though, because he gets back to the line of scrimmage.
Oh, yeah. I don't know why this highlight. Running a reverse with a tight end, maybe? I don't know. All right. Let's get out of here. Oh, wait. Let's watch this first.
Oh. That's against Auburn's JV team.
Mon, you cannot. You cannot not admit that guy is dynamic.
Let's show the 50 sacks the Bengals gave up last year. Can we do that in a loop?
Ooh, look at that catch. All right, let's get out of here. All right, guys, that is another edition of the Bengals Pulse. If you like this podcast, make sure you like, share, and subscribe to this podcast. Make sure you check us out on all the awesome podcast platforms, Apple, Stitcher, Spotify. If you like this podcast, give us that 5-star review. We'd very much appreciate that. Follow Mon on Twitter at TheFireMon. Follow me on Twitter at CoachJakeOwens9. Follow Eric on Twitter at eFlash with 2 H's, 88. Follow the Wednesday Podcast Network on Twitter at Wednesday Pod. And as always, follow the Bengals Pulse on Twitter at Bengals_Pulse9. The same on Instagram without the @Bengals_Pulse9. And as always, check out all the awesome podcasts right here on the Cincinnati Podcast Network. He is Mon. He is Eric. I am Jake. This is the Bengals Pulse. Thank you guys so much for tuning in tonight. We will see you again on Monday. Hooday, Bengal fans.
See you guys.
Hooday.